What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron, and special guest today, Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. What's up, fellas? How are we doing?
Good, man. Always a pleasure to be on the show. How you boys doing?
Doing good. Always a pleasure to have someone to talk Denver Nuggets on the pod, and it should be fun.
Continuing our preview series with the Nuggets today. As always, though, quick reminder, if you want to find out the previous shows, go to iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But before we talk about next season, we're going to look back at last year. Really good year for the Nuggets, 54-28, second in the Western Conference, got knocked out in seven to the Blazers. How would you summarize last season in one emoji?
Fire emoji. Ooh. Fire. Yeah, it went well. It was fun as hell. And if you're not from Denver, you might not know, but you know, the Broncos really dominate the market here. The Nuggets are, their cultural footprint's pretty small. But last season that changed. They were hot, man. They were on everyone's minds.
For me, the emoji I used is the smiling emoji with like the little hands underneath his face. This is just a happy. This was a happy team.
I like that.
It was a happy team to watch. They were extremely fun to watch last year. The offense, like scoring bunches. Nikola Jokic has really solidified himself as one of the top centers in the NBA with a promising Jamal Murray alongside of him. It was all good vibes by the Denver Nuggets last year.
Yeah, it was a really fun season. And you mentioned the guy that kind of relates to my emoji right here, the Joker card emoji, because obviously Jokic was huge last year. But what was the biggest positive takeaway of last year?
It's got to be the relative playoff success. So I'll preface this by saying they fell one game short of the Western Conference Finals in a series that they feel they should have won. Obviously, playing the Spurs and the Blazers is a much easier path than some of the alternatives out West. But nonetheless, this was a very, very young core making their playoff debuts. And I don't need to explain to you guys, playoffs and regular season are different. And for the most part, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic stepped up. Jokic had a transcendent debut. He was one of the five best players in the playoffs, by my opinion, bar none. And Jamal, while he was inconsistent, he showed flashes of greatness. And at times, going head-to-head with Damian Lillard, looked just as good, if not better, within one game at a time. I'm not getting ahead of myself. But so I think the positive takeaways is that the two most important players on this team, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, if you're in the playoffs, they're ready to go. And that's really what matters most.
Yeah, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The biggest positive takeaway is the fact they made it to the playoffs. They had success in the playoffs. These young guys all got playoff experience. I mean, this is a relatively young roster. You know, Paul Millsap is one of the older vets on this roster. You know, Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton even, Malik Beasley, Monte Morris. Like, the list goes on and on of these young guys getting that valuable playoff experience last year. I think, and also one of the biggest takeaways is simply the fact that Nikola Jokic, obviously conditioning, I think, will be better this year. Conditioning last year wasn't even a major issue, because even though when he does look a little bit tired out there, he just has like the Energizer Bunny. He continues to keep going. I mean, especially in that San Antonio Spurs series, there was numerous times where I felt like there's no way he's anything left in the tank. He kept going, had some really big performances in the NBA playoffs, which, like you mentioned, is promising to see from your young guys. You know, all good.
Yeah, you guys pretty much nailed it, like Corey mentioned. You know, just taking that next step, you know, getting to the playoffs, getting to the second round, Jokic becoming a legitimate MVP candidate, and just so many young guys in the roster moving forward. But what would be the biggest negative takeaway from last season?
Well, I'm going to use my same answer and just flip it a little bit. They were too reliant on Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic in the playoffs. Gary Harris, who wasn't the healthiest version of himself last year or the best version of himself, has to be a bigger part of the offense. Some role players that, you know, comprised that depth that was lauded throughout the regular season for Denver failed to step up in the postseason. That can't become a pattern, right? Jokic played 65 minutes against Portland in one game. Ooh. So, I mean, that can't – it's awesome that he's capable of that, but that can't happen. And Michael Mullen, frankly, had no choice in that moment because he was the only player stepping up. So they've got to be – they are a deep team. They have to show that now in the playoffs. And I think 2 years ago, the best part, the most fun part about the Denver Nuggets was the Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic connection. Last year, it was Murray Jokic. This year, the question, guys, can they put all these things together now? right? Can they do it all at once and operate as a cohesive unit? Because if they can achieve their Spursian spiritual reality, then they're nearly unbeatable. But that's a big if, obviously.
Yeah. Negative wise, I had health, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Isaiah Thomas in particular. Obviously, Isaiah Thomas, we didn't see him for majority of the season. He came back and he just wasn't effective. And obviously, he lost his spot in the rotation rather quickly. And then Gary Harris and Will Barton, both guys banged up. And both guys just never really got into rhythm. You know, Will Barton shooting 40 and 30 from the field, Gary Harris shooting 42 and 30, yep, basically 34 from the field. Not having those two guys in particular, Barton off the bench, Harris in the starting lineup, being at their best, definitely stunted a little bit of what the Nuggets ceiling could have been.
Yeah, I rolled with the same thing, Corey. And I think even when guys got back, you know, it just took them out of rhythm. You know, when you're not playing all season and trying to come back and fit in when things are going really good, it's kind of hard to get your game going. And I'd also say just, you know, I wasn't personally happy when they lost in the second round to Portland. I really wanted them to win also because I just felt like they at least would put up some type of fight against Golden State, I'd hope, where I kind of knew Portland going to that series with Golden State had no chance.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the Nuggets would like to agree.
And I think they're the better team. Like, they're obviously the more talented team, but you mentioned it, the depth just didn't really step up in the playoffs when they needed it.
Yeah, and, you know, it should be noted that, like, Portland was shorthanded, obviously, without Nurkic. They overcame, yep, serious adversity, and so they earned that every step of the way. So, but I agree with you, Nick. I do think Denver was the slightly better team. I think that's generally a consensus opinion that next season, maybe Denver makes a leap and is probably a better team than Portland. They would have liked to get it done last year. They didn't. Now they got to put that in the chamber and use it as motivation like they did game 82 two seasons ago.
Yeah, and that just gives you the extra experience for, you know, some of these younger guys to really pop. But moving to next year, our OTG Power Rankings via our staff have the Denver Nuggets coming at number 5. Is this too high, too low, or fair?
I like it. Of course, I would need to take a look at the rest of your list, which I should have done. Should have prepared, gentlemen. I think both LA teams, I think, have higher ceilings. I think there's two teams out east in Philly and Milwaukee that are probably more dangerous title threats than Denver. Obviously, they're playing in a weaker conference, but Giannis is Giannis. I don't need to explain that one. And Philly is a team that I'm not sure if they're healthy, how anyone is supposed to score 2 points on that team. They're built specifically to withstand Giannis. And I think they would withstand, you know, I think they'd be able to defend pretty much anyone that they would face in the finals. So those four teams, I think, are the top four. Then it's Denver, Utah, Houston. How they match up against each other individually, these are interesting questions. In terms of total talent, though, guys, I do think it's Denver at 5. I'm sure some folks in Houston disagree, though.
And funny enough, Denver is number 6 and Utah is number 7 in the power ranking, so you're spot on.
There we go. Are Houston's at 6? Is that what you,
yep,
said?
Yep, Houston at 6, Utah at 7. I mean, I personally put Utah above them, but, you know, that's a staff.
I know it's not the Jazz pod here, but a brief tangent on Utah. I think they are an interesting team because they are good enough top to bottom that in a year that we're considering or defining as wide open, they should be able to look in the mirrors and at least lie to themselves and say we have a chance. Like, they're right to think that. But they're also without a genuine top 10 player, depending on how you view Rudy Gobert. And, I mean, no team has ever won that way. So that Utah's an interesting team for me. Like, I want to put them higher, but I think their ceiling's lower than the teams we mentioned.
I think that's fair. When it comes to Denver at 5, I think it's fair. I actually think Denver, record-wise, is going to finish. We'll go into predictions, but I think they have the best chance to at least have a better regular season than both LA teams. Mm-hmm. But I agree with the fact that I think when we're looking at long-term playoff longevity and who goes on the deeper run, I think both LA teams have a higher ceiling. But I think Denver at 5 is fair, and I think we'll see how much Denver matches up with the two teams in the East, obviously Milwaukee and Philadelphia being those two teams I'm speaking of. I'm interested to see how, you know, the Nuggets match up in comparison to those guys who both have, you know, Embiid, for example, to go against Jokic, and then Milwaukee have a Giannis. How do the Nuggets limit him? But I think 5 is fair.
Yeah, those will be two really fun matchups because it's obviously we don't get to see Denver and Philly and Denver and Milwaukee a lot. But I like five, and like you guys mentioned, regular season-wise, they can really pop off. It's just kind of about that ceiling, and maybe they can kind of prove us wrong throughout the season. But moving on to the offseason, Brendan, who did they grab in the draft?
So they did not have a draft pick entering the night. They did trade a future second rounder, though, to Miami in exchange for the rights to Bol Bol, who helped me out, guys. I think it was in the early 40s. I can't remember exactly.
44, I believe.
44 sounds right. Yep, I think this is where Miami took him. Low risk, potentially high reward draft pick by the Nuggets, yeah. But this is a long-term project. Bol Bol is SEO friendly. I can tell you that as a writer. people Google his name, but I don't think he's going to have much impact one way or another on Denver Nuggets basketball for a few years. So he is on a two-way contract. Of course, the Nuggets are one of two teams, along with Portland, who don't have a G League team. So we don't know where Bol Bol will be yet. But he's not. I don't think he's going to spend a lot of time with the Nuggets. He has not been cleared yet for 5-on-5. He will not play in the preseason. So a lot of excitement about Bol Bol. But again, this is a project here.
Yeah, I mean, in back-to-back years, you know, your first pick, you know, essentially, you know, he's 44th, but he's going to be a guy that you won't see right away, which is fine because the team is really filled out with a lot of depth, and hopefully down the line he can kind of turn into an NBA player.
Sure. I mean, they have bigger fish to fry right now than his development, right? It's something they can kind of put on the back burner. And if he develops and if he's the talent that everyone around him claims he is, then this is, you know, house money, just another gem for Denver. But, you know, low risk. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I don't think they'll regret the trade.
Corey, any?
Yeah, just it's a low risk, high reward. Bol Bol was, you know, one of the guys. I don't know a ton about college. I'm not going to lie. March Madness is where I get most of my college info. But it was a name I heard often and a lot, especially on the draft as he began to fall.
And he was a guy that, like, a lot of people going into last year's college season were really high on. But the injuries just scared everybody away. And, you know, the medical reports, I guess, were not amazing.
No, that's about it. I would just add the injuries, and then I do think it was his interviews, and which scared some teams away as well. I'm not sure we know necessarily the stuff that Bol Bol's made of. He's a timid guy. He's young for his age, even. And so how will he respond, for example, if Draymond Green has some not-so-nice things to say, if a coaching staff feels they need to push him? I don't know. I don't know him personally, but you know, I do think there were more factors in him sliding that far than just health, but Why not take a flyer when you're Denver? It's not like ultra-talented players sign there. So you take them when you can, how you can.
Yeah, and a late second-round pick, or mid-second-round pick, nothing too crazy. But trade-wise, they brought in Jeremy Grant. How'd you guys feel about this?
Yeah, that's an awesome addition on paper, right, in theory. We did get to, the Denver media met him today. It was actually media day in Denver. And he's a Denver Nugget through and through. He's a really understated dude. He's not loud or flashy, but he's confident. And he reminds me of the rest of the guys, the Gary Harris's, the Paul Millsaps, the quiet workers, so to speak. So I think he fits in off the court, on the court. Denver could always use a long defender with versatility. He'll probably play backup four behind Millsap, but this is a guy that can guard 3 through 5, depending on the other lineup. Shot 38%, I believe, from deep last year in OKC. And he's a real threat from the dunker spot. Think of Kenneth Faried in the early Jokic days. So on the court, I mean, this guy's an awesome fit in theory. Denver gave up a 2020 first rounder for him. But again, when championship is the expectation, you're not too worried about a late first rounder. And even if you had a first rounder, you'd be lucky if it developed into a role guy like Grant. So he fills a need, and he fits the mold.
Yeah, big fan of Jeremy Grant's game. Going to be 25 this year. Did shoot, like you said, 49 from the field, 39 from three. All good numbers. Best three-point percentage of his career, taking the most attempts of his career. Averaging career best, 13.6 points per game. A guy you can likely see at the backup four. And the biggest impact he'll bring to Denver is the defense. Yes. This is a guy who can play defense. Obviously, we know Denver can score points in bunches. Having another guy like Jeremy Grant, who, as you mentioned, can guard 3 through 5, it's important to have a guy like that. And Jeremy Grant fits in, a low ego guy as well.
I think he'll be a really good fit with Denver because of the fact he'll be playing with Jokic and somebody to kind of space the floor so he can be closer to the rim. I glanced at, I think, Zach Lowe's piece that he dropped today, and Jeremy Grant was one of the guys he kind of focused on, saying how Grant was really excited to play in Denver because he looked at Jokic's tape and all the cuts he can make getting to the basket. And OKC, they pretty much just asked him to kind of stand in the corner because Steven Adams obviously is in the paint. So it's going to be a completely different game for Grant to play offensively. Like you guys already mentioned, defensively, know he brings that energy, that toughness. He's a really strong dude, and he can throw down some monster dunks. I'd be pretty excited, and I feel like it's one of those low-key moves that's not really been talked about a lot in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know if the casual fan even knows this happened, let alone knows what impact it could have. But you're right, Nick, and he mentioned that today. He literally smiled when asked about how fun this offense seems to play in, and so what it might be like to play alongside Jokic. He's a Jokic-like player, guys. He's a good guy to pair with Jokic, and yeah, I mean, we've said it all. I think he's going to help a lot.
Now, are any other additions worth noting, or should we move on to departures?
You know, Vlatko Chanchar, who they drafted in 2017, he's finally come over. This guy is not going to necessarily be a needle mover. He won't fill up the box score, but he's a very good back end of the rotation or back end of the bench player, I think. He has really good instincts. He doesn't have one skill that stands out at you, athleticism, shooting, per se. He's just always in the right place at the right time. And I think it adds up to something that's greater than the sum of its parts. So Vlatko will be there, and Michael Porter Jr. But no, for the most part, guys, the Denver Nuggets are running it back.
Yeah, and it was active in the West, but when you have a young team, you're kind of banking on player development. But talking about players out, Isaiah Thomas, Trey Lyles, Tyre Lydon, Brendan Goodwin, Thomas Welsh, any of these guys you wish they're able to retain?
No, and I wish them all well. And I think, you know, some of them have NBA careers in front of them still, but these were not big parts of Denver's rotation. When they signed Isaiah Thomas, they thought he might be the backup point guard, which is funny to think about now. You know, Monte Morris played so well. He's one of the 3 to 5 best backup point guards in the league. He could start for some teams. He was the third stringer. But as things turned out, IT wasn't healthy. He didn't quite fit in. So none of those guys were a big part of what Denver does. And I don't think they'll miss them too much this year.
Yeah, I don't think he missed any of these departures. This was Isaiah Thomas from the Boston Celtics days. Maybe it's different, but Monte really did play his way into that, owning that role. He was really good for them.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. You know, with the team they have, you didn't need to bring any of these guys back. But moving on to next year, what's the biggest X factor that's not a player and it's not health?
Oh, wow. I'm going to go with continuity.
Okay.
Over half the league changed teams, right, over the summer. As we just talked about, I think it's 250-ish minutes, total minutes from Denver's rotation that they lost, and that's represented in Lydon and IT and all those guys. So Denver's running it back. Denver's the last trust the process team. But we will find out if that's to their benefit or their detriment. Should they have pulled the trigger on a trade? Were they a star away in a wide open league? You know, sometimes you have to cash in those chips and make the tough decisions. Denver's chosen not to skip steps and to just keep the same group together. I think it'll be to their benefit to start the regular season while everyone else is figuring things out. They'll know exactly who they are. But is that good enough? Should they have been more aggressive? So I'm looking at that, them choosing to run it back, guys.
Funny enough, my X factor was a combination of continuity and progression. Mm. Obviously, this is the same team from last year, added Jeremy Grant and maybe Michael Porter Jr. at some point this year. I'm really not sure on his timetable. But I think, obviously, this team being together for a couple of years now, how do they develop together? And, of course, does Jamal Murray take that solidified role? He's been really good. He got a lot better last year, but still inconsistent at times, especially in the playoffs. I felt like when Jamal Murray was on, the Nuggets were winning. When Jamal Murray was off, obviously he had a quad injury later in the playoffs, which hobbled him a little bit. But can those two guys, Jamal Murray and Jokic, take those steps forward to being more solidified all-stars, borderline superstars, as this Nuggets team looks to progress as a team?
I went something similar to you, Corey. I went with the growth of the backcourt. You know, Jamal Murray, he's shown these major flashes of just being a star where you can't control him. If you can get more consistency in that, he's going to be great. Obviously, we talked about Gary Harris earlier. The injuries kind of plagued him last year. If he can take another step too, this is just going to push Denver to another level. But opening night starting lineup, what do you got?
Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Paul Millsap, Nikola Jokic. The biggest question, guys, in this rotation is the starting small forward. They don't really have one. Will Barton is obviously more of a two naturally, or at least I see him that way. Juancho Hernangómez fell out of the rotation last season. And so while we know he can shoot, he did not. He shot below 20% in the second half of last season. He had an injured core muscle repaired over the offseason. So we'll see how much health contributed to that. But Torrey Craig, Juancho Hernangómez, Will Barton, these aren't really ideal choices at the wing. I think healthy Will Barton's the closest they're going to get to that. He is a playmaker. He's a better spot-up shooter than some folks think. He passes a lot more than people think. And if he's healthy and he's confident, then what you have are these three ball handlers who can sort of work around the perimeter as Jokic operates as like essentially a pivot point, right? In these DHO slots, these DHO points. And Denver's pretty unguardable when Jokic gets to make those reads. And so if it's a healthy Will Barton and not Torrey Craig at the three, I think this offense is going to stay fluid and stay flowing. So that's their ideal starting lineup.
What would be your argument to start Torrey Craig?
So
would there be one?
The argument would be that he's probably the best individual defender of that group of Michael Porter Jr., Juancho Hernangómez, Will Barton, and Torrey Craig. He is the best individual defender. But people forget that while Malone did turn to him initially after the Barton injury, they did ultimately have to yank him from the starting lineup because the shooting wasn't great and he doesn't have great off-ball instincts. And teams just flat out weren't guarding him. Jokic was getting double-teamed. The paint was suffocated, right? So what Denver liked to do, and their spacing was just completely thrown off when Torrey Craig was out there. So the argument is that he's a great defender, but what does that add up to? I think if Barton's healthy, not nearly as much.
Well, that kind of hurts my starting lineup prediction now. But I have Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Torrey Craig, Paul Millsap, and Nikola Jokic. I just, in my mind, was thinking Will Barton off the bench for more offense. Torrey Craig as a defender, you put him in the starting lineup around those offensive weapons, you have a good defender. But obviously, if there was that much issue when he was a starter, then I could see this not being the starting five, obviously.
Yeah, I was kind of caught in between, and Brendan kind of just took the argument for me. I'm going to go with Will Barton over Craig now. So I got Murray, Harris, Barton, Millsap, and Jokic. But who would be the player to watch next year? I guess before we even get into this, I'm really curious, Brendan, what's the status of Michael Porter Jr.? Do we really know what to expect this season? Is he going to be healthy?
Do we know what to expect this season? No. It's a hard no. is he healthy? I think so. Yeah, he is going to play preseason. Okay. And he's going to participate in training camp. And by everything we heard today, it sounds like he's going to be a part of the rotation in some capacity. He's going to have to earn his minutes. They've made that clear. Remember the last time Michael Porter Jr. played, really, really played, he was the best player on a high school team. Right? Dribble, 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 shoot, which was a good game plan back then. It worked. but, you know, at the NBA level, on a team that won 54 games, is he going to be able to slide into a role in a rotation? Because his mindset should probably be, how can I help this team, not the other way around? Listening to him today, we did hear some of that. He wants to show his coaches at training camp, in his words, that he can be an elite defender, an elite rebounder. Because even if he's not the go-to offensive threat, as he said, I'm still 6'10". So they need a guy like that in the rotation, a big body, someone who can defend on the wing. We know he can shoot. There's a role for him in that rotation. It seems like he's healthy. It will have a lot to do, in my mind, with his approach and how he tries to slide into what Denver's already doing.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. I think a lot of, you know, NBA fans are just curious. And it, I mean, the way you see it made it seem like there's a possibility we really don't see much of him this year, and it's more so a developmental year, and maybe it's the next season where he really pops off. But who would be a player to watch other than him?
Other than him, yeah, because he's still the player to watch, to be clear, yeah. Right? When the ceiling's that high, because that's the flip side, is if he's really of the Ben Simmons cloth or what have you, then, man, Denver's sitting pretty, but it's a big if. The player to watch is Jamal Murray, and it's kind of a lazy, easy answer because he's the second best player on the team and we all know his name, but he is, as Zach Lowe once said, one of the most important swing men in the league right now. As you pointed out earlier, Jamal Murray sometimes the consistency is not quite there for him yet, right? Like he can average 18 points a game, but some nights it's 25 and the next it's 11. They really need that baseline to be higher. They really need him to be a top 40, top 30 guy in the league. He shows flashes of that for sure, but the baseline needs to be there. I think we'll see it. I think he has a lot of experience under his belt now. I think playing two game sevens helped a lot. But you know, when he's hot, they're nearly unbeatable, but he can also be the thing that beats them when he's not. So Jamal Murray's the guy to watch, and in a sense, he's the X factor as well.
I did go with Jamal Murray, but I'll go different just to mix it up. So also Gary Harris. Obviously, Nikola Jokic, I think we all know what he is at this point in time, and there's still a lot more that he can become for his game to become better, three-point shooting in particular. Now, Jamal Murray, as you mentioned, Brennan, it's all about consistency. Can he get the averages up to a higher standard than just 18 per game? Because it definitely felt like one night it'd be 25 to 30, the next night it'd be 10 to 15. But for me, it's Gary Harris. Obviously, health was a concern last year, but they really need, as Nick even mentioned when he said backcourt duo, they need Gary Harris to be that third scoring option, a consistent threat from the three-point line, and to be one of their better guard defenders. Because I think Jamal Murray, even though I don't think he's a terrible defender, Gary Harris can pick up the slack at the guard position, guarding the tougher matchup to take some pressure off Jamal Murray. So for me, it's Gary Harris being on the court and then just improving his game.
Yeah, both great picks. I was going to go with Murray here, but I'll just go with Grant because he really intrigues me for what he could add. And obviously, Paul Millsap's getting up there in age. Brent, is there any concern from Denver that maybe, you know, Millsap might get hit with father time and then Grant might start by the end of the season, or it's just Millsap's got it locked up, especially with that contract?
Well, that conversation will be had, I'm sure of it, at some point or another. And I'm sure Grant will close some games. But I do think in the playoffs, it's going to be Paul Millsap starting and closing. He's getting up there, but he looks great physically, claims he feels as good as he's ever been. And while he did have his only two major injuries of his career these last two seasons, they were both freak accidents. I think it was like a broken wrist and he hurt his ankle, like falling hard on the floor. So not things that were necessarily reflective of his body breaking down. He joked today that if the plan is to load manage him at all with Jeremy Grant in town, then by all means do it. I don't think he would mind taking those back-to-backs off. But yeah, to your point, the acquisition of Grant makes you wonder if they have an eye towards the future at that power forward position. And Grant fits the timeline better than Millsap does. But Millsap's still a big part of their plans for this season.
Now, moving on to the whole team, what's the worst case scenario for next year?
I mean, they're making the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Save for a major Jokic injury, they're making this. So I would say that it's a first round exit, which could happen. I don't think it's likely, but depending on their matchup, it could. And if that were to happen, all this momentum that they've built, the dialogue around the Nuggets, it's not the national perspective that really concerns me, it's the local one. And they've finally gotten the fans to care and fill the building again, go to these games, go to the watch parties, rep their gear. If they were to take a step backwards next season after all this and all this talk, I do fear that they would risk losing the attention of the city. And that matters. I do think there's such a thing as like organizational momentum. So true. First round exit, I think, would be a huge bummer. I might have to delete my Twitter that summer.
Worst case scenario for me would be similar. It would be them getting ousted in the first round. I don't see any world where this team misses the playoffs. So it would have to be a first-round exit.
Yeah, like you guys said, a slight step back would be a first-round exit. You know, maybe a little bit less in the win total, something substantial. But they should be a lock for the playoffs with the depth they have and the pieces they have talent-wise, even in the stacked Western Conference. But what's best-case scenario for next season?
It's an NBA championship. I don't think it's likely, but it's absolutely on the table. We have sort of flirted around this concept, but for as better as some teams out West got, ultimately, the bar to clear hangs a little lower because no one's better than Golden State was when healthy.
Yep.
And Denver is a team, you know, again, that we mentioned that's just straight running it back while the rest of the league might have to put some puzzles together. So I think for them, this path is less daunting now. I don't like their chances against either LA team in seven games, or Houston for that matter, but those are potentially winnable series in a way that one with the Kevin Durant Warriors was not. So getting to the finals is possible, and once there, I think they actually match up all right with Milwaukee and Philly. So it's on the table. It's a really, really low percentage, but it's a non-zero percentage, and the last time that was true in Denver was long before I was here.
Yeah. Best case scenario for me is an NBA championship, of course. I think that goes without saying. I also think it could be them winning in the upwards of 65 games. I know that may be like a wild best case scenario, but I think this team could really pop off in a regular season as we're seeing teams like the Clippers and Lakers maybe doing some more rest management. The Nuggets are going to be pedaled to the floor.
And is MPJ, can I ask you, so that 65 scenario, like what does that look like? Is MPJ, he's got to be like rookie of the year, right? Like everything's working.
Not necessarily. I think 65 is relatively close. Even if Jokic takes a slight step, Jamal Murray raises the points per game, you know, to 23. Gary Harris is healthy. Will Barton's healthy. I think you bring back that nucleus, all of them just a further year developed with Jeremy Grant added and Michael Porter Jr. making some sort of impact later on. I think 65 is possible, depending on how the rest management goes for the teams like the Clippers, Lakers, and then who knows, you know, what Utah and Houston actually looks like once the games get going.
I think in that scenario too, that would be where their cohesion and chemistry really stuck out, where, you know, all these teams in the NBA, it's taken them till, you know, January to really get pieces of fit, because we've kind of mentioned on the show, there's so many new pieces everywhere where Denver's really the same. I would say best case scenario is an NBA championship. I would say probably like 60 wins. 65 in the West for me is just going to be really hard. But what's your actual prediction for the season, and where do they finish in the division?
I have them at 54, 55 wins. I think they win the division. I think they're top three out West, probably top two. And I think they lose in the Western Conference Finals. It's the Clippers that I see finishing atop the West with them as well. I know some folks see Utah. The Lakers, I think, are obviously a bigger playoff threat than they are a regular season threat. I don't think any of us are expecting them to win too many games. But again, I think the Nuggets could lose to either LA team in the conference finals. I do think that they'll win enough, though, that they're contending for a one seed like they were last year. There's just too much. People talk about them like they were a lucky team last year because they won a lot of close games, and there's a lot of stats that would point out maybe they overcame some adversity in a way that's difficult to replicate. But I would argue they were unlucky. They dealt with so many injuries and so few things went their way. So if this team runs it back, reaches their ceiling, stays healthy, they're winning at least 55 games for me.
Yeah, and I don't think they were lucky. I think it was just like, you know, you mentioned the injuries, and it was just like a different guy kind of popped up, like, you know, a Torrey Craig, a Malik Beasley, like Hermann Gomez, like these guys all had good.
Deep. I think they're a good basketball team.
They were a fun team to watch. I couldn't see anything lucky really about them. And I'm a big believer in, like, if you keep young talent together, they're going to take a jump. And especially the way they lost the previous season, not making the playoffs in that last game, like that just gave them extra motivation. And obviously when you have a guy like Jokic take a major step. But Corey, what do you got prediction wise?
I'm a little bit higher, I guess, on the Nuggets. I have 58 wins on the year. I have them getting the number one seed in the Western Conference and being the best team in their division. I think this is the year we see Denver take that bigger step in the regular season. I think they make a deep playoff run. I've been kind of dodging the question of who makes it to the Western Conference Finals, but this is one of my four teams and the last of my four teams between the Clippers, Lakers, Jazz, and Nuggets. These are the four teams I think all have a serious chance at the Western Conference Finals.
I'm kind of right in between you guys. I'm at 56 wins. I have them in a second round exit, as you know, my Western Conference Finals is most likely going to be Clippers, Lakers, and I have them first in the division. You know, they could get lucky though, seeding wise, you know, something we saw last year where maybe they don't have to match up with the Clippers or Lakers in that second round. They could definitely get to Western Conference Finals. But any topics you guys want to touch on before we get to League Pass?
You know, one thing that I have my eye on with this team, they were the happiest locker room or one of them in the league last year. And that is the case right up until it's not, if you get my drift. You know, it doesn't take much for those types of things to swing. There was just a vibe about this team all year last year. I'm curious if that's still there this season. I'm curious if things have changed. You know, we talked about the benefits of continuity, but can things get stale? Can you grow sick of the same faces, the same voices? So I just wonder if Denver will be able to keep that together the way they did last year.
Yeah, it's an underrated thing. Locker room, you know, the bench, how you know, the team celebrates and things along those lines. But where would you guys rate the Denver Nuggets in terms of league pass 1 through 10?
They're a top 5 team, I think, right?
Yep. They're at least, you know, whatever you like. I think top 10, top 5 kind of just all goes to what you personally enjoy.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think about, I mean, you know, the other teams for me next season, it's crazy. New Orleans might be number one. You know, I don't think they're not going to be the best team, but in terms of the team I'm most curious about, they may have jumped all the way to one.
Ticket prices reflect that. I looked up like when they're matched up with the Nets, it's already like one of the more pricier tickets because someone I know is going to be in town. They want to check out Zion. So it's like, damn, I could go to 2 games for the price of this.
Let me I'm going to cheat a little bit. Let me have you guys go first. I want to hear your lists and I'll get back to you.
My watchability, I have the Nuggets at 8.5. On the higher part of my scale, I think this is, yeah, this is the third highest rating I've given out, with only the Clippers and Lakers being ahead of them so far. I mean, they play a fun style of basketball. They're going to score a lot of points, and they have some young guys. They're an intriguing team to watch.
Yeah, I think for me, they're probably in my top 5 as of right now. We're not all the way through the previews, obviously. I had the Clippers above them. I think I might have had the Lakers just for, like, the star pop, and then obviously the Nets. But I have the Nuggets as a 9 out of 10. Like, they're going to be one of the most fun teams, and my show will kind of match that up.
I'll drop it to an 8 because there's a chance that there are nights you tune in to see Jokic or Millsap or Gary Harris, and they're on the bench. It's a slim chance, but it's possible.
And the chance of blowouts when you're a really good team, that's always a possibility too.
Yeah, that as well. But I agree with you, man. This team plays basketball the right way. They're fun to watch.
Now, TV show comparison. You can compare this based off of watchability or plot. What do you got for us?
Okay. I'm going to go with Rocket Power.
Oh, Nickelodeon classic.
Yeah. All right. The Nuggets are young. The Nuggets are fun. The Nuggets are hip. And the Nuggets are underrated. How'd okay. I do?
I like it. I haven't heard anybody mention Rocket Power in a while, so I'm going back right now.
I'm old. Did I just age myself?
No, I think you're good.
I think we all grew up with Rocket Power on this podcast. There I think we're okay.
Okay.
The show I went with, and this is more so off watchability. I didn't have a clever show this time around, but Parks and Recreation.
Okay.
Timeless, funny. You can always throw it on and find entertainment with any episode, and I feel like the Nuggets in that regard will have the same ability to any game I tune in, I'll be able to watch at least some portion of it. So Parks and Recreation.
So I went with a really similar show. I went with The Office, and same reason, it's fun. You always can watch it. Like, same thing with the Nuggets. But I also went with the plot. It's just like there's so many characters you want to watch. There's so much depth with the show. Same thing with the Nuggets. Obviously, main character, Jokic and Michael Scott, it's going to be like the major pop of the show. But there's other pieces why you want to watch too.
It's a good one.
As long as you watch the Nuggets, that's my plea to any non-Nuggets fans listening right now. Tune in. It's worth it.
They usually are, Corey and I are East Coast guys, and for me, like, if I'm going to go to a West Coast game, why not watch the Nuggets? Like, they just play fun basketball.
And they generally don't have 10 p.m. tip-offs. I'm pretty sure they're one of the 9 p.m.s for most games.
Yeah, it's that sweet mountain time zone. You can still catch it on the East. I'm from Jersey. I've done it.
Yeah.
It's not bad, because especially if you got that early work where you're like, I want to watch a second game, but I don't want to watch until 1 o'clock. But, guys, anything else before we get out of here?
I just appreciate you guys having me on, man. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure having you on, Brendan. Always a pleasure, Corey. Brendan, tell them where they can find you and find your work.
Sure. I'm on Twitter at bvote422. That's at bvogt422. You can find my work at thednvr.com. Follow us at dnvr_nuggets. New season with a new site for me and Adam Mares, for those of you that were familiar with us from Stiffs, but the content should be similar, should be better. So follow along. Check us out.
Awesome.
Corey, give yourself a plug.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at KWALHoops, KWAL Hoops. And also check out the Full Access Hoops podcast, which I co-host.
You can follow OTG, obviously, on Twitter at OTG Basketball. Check out the website, OTGBasketball.com. We got this, obviously, preview series. We got the team preview series written form, also Hire and Fire series, and should be dropping some more stuff before the season starts. As I mentioned, guys, always a pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can check out previous shows on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.